당신을 하나하고 나왔습니다.
And we can come to you. Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Hands up with your blood. And on your word. We love you, Lord.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
We just finished reviewing Romans chapter 15 and 16. By reviewing 15 and 16, we will finish our reading and of the book of Romans for the church. And I just want to share a few points since we already went through chapter 15 and 16. The first point is we have read Romans 15, 16. Paul mentioned that he is a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles and a laboring priest of the gospel of God in order that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, having been sanctified in the Holy Spirit. This is toward the end of Romans. In the very beginning of Romans, maybe you can read Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son. How unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers. So we see that Paul, he preached the gospel. He said he is a laboring priest. So he is not just a preacher. Rather, he is a priest. A priest is one who serves God. And Paul in the said in the very beginning, he served. He served God. In his spirit and in the gospel of his Son. So Paul's gospel preaching is his serving as priest. And he served in the spirit. Through this little, this one verse, it opens up that we usually know that in the Old Testament there are priests. But in the New Testament, here Paul said very clearly, he is a priest of the gospel. So this is very striking. In fact, the whole New Testament is maybe the only place mentioned about he is the priest of the gospel. But if we read the New Testament, we will realize not just Apostle Paul, he said that. Apostle John and Apostle Peter, they also share along the same line. Maybe we can read the verses also together. Revelation. That the Lord died for us on the cross, accomplished redemption, and he shed his blood. In this verse, he mentions he shed his blood to release us from our sins. The fourth purpose is not just that we will be redeemed, but to make us a kingdom and priests. So this verse is not just referring to a few, but rather everyone. Everyone who has been released from his sins, we are part of this kingdom, and we are all priests. So it's very clear by Apostle John's word. One verse in Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9, let's read also. And they say, you are worthy to be saved.
And all the
verse 10 mentioned about, mentioned that
여기 베드로도 또 동일한 말을 하고 있습니다. 여러분
In the Old Testament, Melchizedek is the is a king of Satan, but he is the priest of the Most High God. So he is the king's priest. In the Old Testament, also prophesied that the Lord Jesus, he will be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus is a descendant of David. From that tribe, there's no priest. But the Lord is a priest. So he's a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But today with us, we are both holy priesthood, but we are also kingly priesthood. Yeah. Oh, it's a big blessing to all of us. So we should treasure our priesthood. Now, of course, the Old Testament, because the unfaithfulness of the children of Israel, the priesthood eventually not to all the tribes. Rather, he went to one tribe of among them, all the tribes. It's not just one tribe, the tribe of Levi. It's only one household, the household of Aaron. They had the priesthood. So, to have the priesthood is a rich, is a big blessing. I have a little bit to mention, Hua Guang sharing that also, in the summer we are very busy. There are many trainings, conferences, we are in fact in the midst of the summer school too, for the junior high and high school. And before that, there was college training. And this time with the college training and also with the high schools, we emphasize very, or rather we try to help the high schools or junior highs to spend time before the Lord. To be a priest, often we read the word, the priest of the gospel, automatically we'll think, we need to go to a priest of the gospel. But in fact, the basic point concerning the priest is not so much in doing things first, but rather a priest is one who spends time before the Lord, who comes to the Lord. So the holy priesthood is one who comes forward to the Lord. So, we know many saints. We all have a morning watch, and there are morning watch sheets, and that's very good. There's quite a few saints. They have morning watch with one another, and I also have on the phone with some other brothers there. And I heard there are many sisters, morning watch groups. They will call one another, and they will read the word together, and that is very good. Every time when I spend time with the world with the brothers, and I feel strengthened. But in the Bible, they also mention that we, now we should have a corporate aspect, that we be and join the world with brothers or sisters, and we also should spend some time before the Lord on our own. That is the holy priesthood. Holy priesthood is to go before the Lord. So I just want to encourage all of us, including myself, that we need to have our personal time with the Lord. And when you touch the Lord, you'll realize the Lord is very real and personal to us. A lot of time when we spend time with other brothers and sisters, reading the morning watch verses, or reading a portion of the word, maybe messages, and a lot of time we're not able to tell the Lord something personally. But if you have personal time with the Lord, and quite often the Lord may touch you, and quite often you may be able to tell the Lord what's deep in you. And then the Lord becomes very personal to us, not just in a kind of a corporate way only. So I hope we all will spend some time when we get up in the morning. There was a saying of some of the saints that for us Christians, when we get up, the first thing we need to do is not to talk to someone, or do many things. Rather, we should see God first. We should meet our God, and we should spend time with our Lord. And they will really strengthen our Christian life and make our Christian life not just alive, before man. You know, we have more than one with other brothers and sisters. Still, you know, there was somebody else while you are with the Lord. But we should also have a life of before God. It's kind of like a tree. You know, the tree, they are the visible parts of the tree. But the tree also has invisible part, which are the roots. The roots will help this tree to grow, will also strengthen this tree. So I just want to mention this concerning this matter of the priesthood. You know, we, after finish Romans 15 and 16, we will spend another 6 weeks on the book of Exodus. We just finished the second part of Exodus 20. Exodus is a very rich book. In fact, Exodus is kind of like the book of Romans. Because the book of Romans is to make sinners children of God, and sons of God, members of the body of Christ. Eventually living in the churches for God's purpose. And the book of Exodus is the same. The book of Exodus mentioned the children of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. But through the Passover, they were redeemed. But redemption is not for itself. God redeemed them is to call them out of Egypt. So eventually, after Passover, they were baptized. And they were following the Lord. And the Lord feed them. And lead them. But for a purpose. Not just for them to live a life. Okay, they are free from Egypt. They just enjoy God's provision. But rather, God wants to bring them. Because eventually, in the book of Exodus, we will get into it. God brought them to the mountain of God. So they will receive revelation concerning God. Concerning God. And also concerning God's desire. So, you know, the book of Exodus is wonderful. But the book of Romans is the same. Imagine the beginning of the book of Romans, there were sinners condemned. But through the redemption, they were justified, they were reconciled, and they were sanctified. In chapter 8, they were made children of God, sons of God. Even eventually they will be glorified. But again, God, in the book of Romans, brought all the saints in Romans to see that they need to go on to Romans 12, concerning the body of Christ. And eventually, to chapter 15 and 16 of Romans, to the churches, to the church. It's very interesting, in Exodus, when the children of Israel, they were brought out of Egypt, they were brought to the mountain of God. In chapter 19, God says, God bore them on eagle's wings to bring them to them, to himself as a peculiar treasure and to make them a kingdom of priests. And then in chapter 20, he mentions the decree of the Ten Commandments that is to reveal God himself to them. Then we see in chapter 25, you know, he may start revealing God's building, God's dwelling place. They were asking them to offer something to God, you know, for the building. And in chapter 35, again, and all the building of God's tabernacle that through Moses, with all the offering of the children of Israel, the tabernacle, God's dwelling place on the earth, was able to build. And in the book of Romans, it's also, when they were saved, redeemed, Christ came into them. When it comes to Romans 12, the first mention, the first one, Paul said, I exhort you therefore through the compassions of God to present your bodies. In the Old Testament, the building of God's dwelling place are materials, physical materials. But in the New Testament, God's building is not physical materials. God's building is you and me, same ones. So we need to give ourselves to the Lord for His building. So it's very precious, you know, that God needs all of us to be His building materials. I was reading the book, it was, you know, all the things, everything in the tabernacle, they are types of Christ. What can you offer? What can I offer? I realize I don't have anything to offer. Only Christ is accessible. That's why we don't take anything from the unbelievers. They don't have anything to offer for God's building because there's nothing worth anything. But today, the Christ within us is precious. You know, when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, He said, I brought you to myself. You are my personal treasure. So every one of us, we are God's treasure. We are God's treasure for a purpose. Not just for people to appreciate, but rather we are here for God's building. So, but for God's building, not only we need to offer ourselves, God's building needs a lot of material. Where the material came from? The material came from us preaching the gospel. If we don't preach the gospel, God has no materials. Because you don't last forever, I don't last forever. That's why we need to continue to preach the gospel. It's not a very portion of the word. And also, you know, last week we had a summer school too. And the last lesson was Friday. Friday's lesson was concerning the Lord's second coming. I realized, you know, what I'm going to share, I want to see in the life of the Lord's second coming. In Romans, there is a verse, chapter 11, and you can read it together. Okay, maybe we read the verse before, just to complete. I mentioned that the holy priesthood concerning the Aaronic priesthood, that the high priest has a plate, gold plate, mention that word. Maybe we read the verse together. Exodus 28, verse 36. And you shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave upon it, like the beginnings of the sin, holy to the Lord. This may be the only words in the usually Bible, capital words. You know, the whole word is capital. It is capitalized. To finish the matter of holy priesthood and royal priesthood, I'd say this. Holy priesthood is we go before the Lord. And royal priesthood is we come to the people. That's why Peter mentioned in 1 Peter 2, 9, concerning the royal priesthood, imagine we are to tell up the virtues of Him who has called us out of darkness into marvelous light. So we should be both the holy priesthood and also the royal priesthood. Some people may, you know, I'm shy, you know, I don't want to preach the gospel, I just want to be a holy priest. But the Lord wants us to have both the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. So last week, I think during the college training also, you know, they all went out to preach the gospel. A young brother said, that's great, asked me, he said, he has the burden to preach gospel, but he's very shy. He asked me what to do. I said, I was shy too. I said, you know, we took the kids out to give out the tracks. I said, I used to do is, I go behind a big brother. When he give out the tracks, he give to the first person, I give to the second person. So when they went out, you know, they get used to it. So they exercise their loyalty. They enjoy the law, they go out to preach the gospel. So we all can preach the gospel. Because we all are part of the priesthood. And God has made us priests. So we should exercise our privilege, our rights, you know, not to put it aside, not to bury it. We should be the living, functioning priest. I mean, you know, to put this in the light of the Lord's coming. And let's read Romans 11, 25. For I do not want you, brothers, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in yourselves.
That our sins should come upon Israel in part, and heal the wounds of their hearts and
ears.
This phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles, may be translated more so, the number of Gentiles. In other words, today, of course, the gospel is for all, because God desires all men to be saved, including Jews and including Gentiles. But I think sitting here, we had a few Jewish brothers, Jewish family, but one family moved to Israel. I don't know whether the other families here. I think most of us were Gentiles. Thank the Lord, you got saved. I got saved. But the Lord is waiting for a number of the Gentiles to come to the fold. The Lord Jesus wants to come back. In Revelation 22, verse 7, verse 12, verse 20, three times. The first two times says, come Lord Jesus. Come Lord Jesus. The third time, in verse 20, he mentioned, the Lord answered, yes, I come quickly. The Lord wants to come back. Of course, there's an answer by John the Apostle. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's all say it together.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
The Lord really wants to come back. But when will the Lord come back? Nobody knows the day, the time. But
a
couple of facts.
하지만 여기 여거 이제 사실이 있는데
the Lord will come back. One is the number of the Gentiles. So we have to preach the gospel. There are other Gentiles in addition to you and me. They need to hear the gospel. They need to come to add to this number. It's kind of like a balance. A balance. When you add, you know, in the beginning, maybe it's not balanced. But when you add to the number is full, at both sides is equal. We may say, the Lord is waiting to come back. He wants to come back. But there are many Gentiles are not saved. We need to get them saved so the Lord can come back. So may we all participate, have a part in expecting the Lord to come back, wanting the Lord to come back, even hastening the Lord's coming back. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just hear this much concerning the priesthood. The next part is Romans 15. We read also that Paul, on one hand, is very burdened for the gospel, but on the other hand, Paul knows God's heart. Just like the book of Romans, eventually leads to the body of Christ and to the local churches. So Paul was burdened. Paul is an apostle of the Gentiles. But at the same time, he's very concerned for the churches in Judea among the Jews. So the verses we read in 15, you know, usually we say 16 is concerning the local churches, the fellowship, the concern among the local churches. But in fact, toward the end of chapter 15, Paul already expressed his burden. He wants to go to Rome, but he didn't go there. He said he will go back to Jerusalem, then he will go to Spain on the way of Rome. Why? Because Paul was burdened for the churches of God, in particular, the church in Jerusalem. Paul was an apostle of the Gentiles, so he raised up churches in Asia and also in Macedonia. The church in Philippi is a part of Macedonian churches, and also the churches in Achaia. So he was going to bring the material offerings to the church in Jerusalem for the poor saints, in Jerusalem. And so he has a real heart, a real burden, a real concern for the, not just for the Gentile believers, but also for the Jewish believers. We thank the Lord very much that recently we have a lot of saints visiting us. They came from Far East. Most of us, we don't go to Far East that often, so they came. That was so wonderful. I think we all enjoy the fellowship. So we are the church in New York City, but we are not alone. We are part of the churches. We are part of the body of Christ. So we should not just be a Christian of a local church. We should be a Christian, even not just a country, not just a state, not just a country. We should be a Christian internationally, even universally. Universal, isn't that too much? Well, the church is body of Christ. The body of Christ in the universe, how many bodies? There's one body in the universe. That is the church. So we should be universal Christians. Our heart should be enlarged. The same as God's heart. So I'm just worried that we all can be a part living in the practical church life. For the Lord to come back, the numbers of the Gentiles need to be fulfilled. And also, the greatest prophecy in the New Testament is what the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. So the church needs to be built up. Paul realized, not just saving the Gentile believers, that's good enough. No. It has to be up. Many churches raised up. Even in New York State, no. New York State, there are many other localities, small localities. And there are, in fact, still many places they don't have a church. So we are here. We are not here for ourselves. And the brothers are burdened that this year is a year of advancement. This year is a year of enlargement. So we need to lift up our eyes. The Lord needs to have many to save, and the Lord needs to raise up many churches. It's lampstands. Today, may we all participate in the building up of the church. You know, not only building up the church, we have a couple of verses. Matthew 16:18. Maybe we could read that verse. Matthew 16:18 was for the end. Let's read together. And I also say to you that you are here. I want to build my church. And may you shall have it. You know, the Lord will build his church, but the Lord will not build it directly. And how does he build? Then we see in the book of Ephesians. Let's read Ephesians 11 and 12.
And he himself gave some as apostles, and some mountain faith, unto the word of the victory, unto the building of the body of Christ.
So there is a practical way to build up the body of Christ. That is through God given gifts. When we send a hymn, meaning about the Lord will shepherd his people. How does he shepherd? He feeds his sheep. He will feed his sheep to you and me. So we all need to be sheep. Not just sheep, we also need to be shepherds. After the Lord's resurrection and before his ascension, when the disciples were fishing and the Lord met them and the Lord has given three times whether he loves the Lord Jesus. And the Lord asked him three times. Told him three times. The first time is feed my lambs. The second time is shepherd my sheep. And the third time is feed my sheep. So the Lord wants Peter to be the shepherd. And today, the verse there mentioned that he gave apostles, prophets, shepherds and teachers, evangelists, and shepherds and teachers. Evangelists is the preaching gospel. It's through the perfecting. When we are perfected, I went through some of the, when the church has learned to preach gospel, and they train us. Because all of us who are not born able to preach the gospel. So the training really helps. Because sometimes we talk to a friend, we talk 2 hours, he's not saved. He has said a lot, but he's not saved. If you are trained, you will realize, don't say too much. You are just bringing him to the Lord. As long as he is open to the Lord, pray with him. He will receive the Lord right away. Even at this time, last week, when we went out with the young one, to receive the Lord. And it's this training. So the perfecting will help all of us to preach the gospel and also to be shepherds. Because if we have the view of building up the church, we'll realize a person just saved, he can be a material, but he needs to grow in order to be transformed, to be material for the building. So everyone can say, it's not the end. Every month we have gospel meetings. But a lot of people got saved, but a lot of sense feel, my job is done, because I brought them to the Lord. But if we have the view of the building of the church, we will realize, to get a person saved is just the beginning. We all need to feed them, so they can grow unto salvation and be transformed. I just want to pass this little burden, because it takes time to go into this matter of perfecting. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. So we all need to be perfected in order to be able to preach the gospel and also to shepherd others. At the end, I just want to mention, soon we'll have another, we call it perfecting exercise. These are for the Chinese speaking ones. And we already finished 2 terms, and all the sense feel very helpful. Because it's not just sharing some truth in the word, There's a saying in Chinese, the more messages you hear, you become taller. But the more you practice, the more you get humble. So we need to not just hear the word, but we also need to practice the word. I just want to read you some of the topics that it was covering the perfecting exercise. First one is concerning calling on the name of the Lord. We all know, I think, everyone sitting here, we all know calling on the name of the Lord. What's special about it? Well, the name of the lesson is the mingled spirit and calling on the name of the Lord. You know, Amy Barber in hymn number 73, and she mentioned that to praise the name of Jesus is to bring life indeed. But he didn't mention in his writing, in her writing, any place that when we call, it's not just with our mouth, with voice. We have a mingled spirit. The Lord has come into us, and His Spirit is one with us. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when we exercise our spirit, we touch the Lord by calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord is so real to us. Even not just drinking, life indeed. Even we become one with Him. So all this, there are other lessons concerning judicial redemption, organic salvation. This is the book of Romans. First part, judicial redemption. Second part, organic salvation. Then there's the Word of Life. With, pray, read the Word. So we need to and know God's Word is life. But we also need to know how to practice by prayer reading, that this Word can be experienced, received by us, to be life to us. Then imagine about the Triune God, the revelation of the Triune God, and His mood. Just like in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself, not just for the revealing sake, but to lead His people, that they will move on with the Lord, even into the good land, for His purpose. Then there is concerning God economy and consecration to love the Lord. So God has an economy to accomplish, but it's not just a where to do, but rather it takes our love. We need to love the Lord. Then there is the revelation of Christ with the experience. The Christ we need to see, such a Christ is all inclusive. But we can experience Him. This is the first book, the six lessons. I think all the saints enjoy it very much. Okay, I just stop here. May we all, for the coming of the Lord, and we participate in the preaching of the gospel. And for the coming of the Lord, we participate in the building up of the Church of Christ. And we all may be ready for His coming. On one hand, we join Him in carrying out His purpose. On the other hand, we prepare ourselves. Because the Lord is coming with us Christians, is for reward and punishment. I like to live a life meaningful. I think we all want to live a life meaningful. We all want to live a life to fulfill His purpose, not just for ourselves, because it will be meaningless. No matter how good our daily life, whatever we have, eventually we will know everything is vanity or vanity. Only God's purpose, only God is eternal. Praise the Lord. And I'll stop here.
Well, first of all, we'd like to welcome all those who may be here for the first time, visiting from either other localities or you came with one of the brothers and sisters. So if you are here for the first time, we would like for you to stand up. We'd like to meet you and greet you. And maybe the ones who brought you can stand up with you. Are there any here who are either visiting or are new and they're here for the first time? Please stand up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you could tell us your name and where you're from. We have translation, you can speak in any language.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Very good. Yeah. Sarah's coming to go to college here from Nigeria. So she'll be with us for a couple of weeks. Anyone else? Good. Okay, we have a few announcements. We want to remind the saints to pick up your morning watch sheets on your way out. We will be, as Timothy mentioned, covering the book of Exodus for a few weeks. And there are copies of the Holy Word from Exodus from the training. If you would like to get a copy, or if you ordered a copy, they have them in the book room. The last announcement is related to